Back to John chapter 6. And I just kind of wanted to do a little more on this bread of life thing. Still got it in my head. I want to read John chapter 6 and verse 44. That's where I want to read, just the last place. Down to 51. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That'll split a church. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And I'm going to stop right there. Because right after that says, the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves. And they still are. And so are the Gentiles. So don't feel so special, right? Everybody is striving against themselves. Because striving against God doesn't work. People think they strive against God, but they don't. Because if you're ever actually doing anything, it's because he let you do it. Anyhow, Christ Jesus was speaking to these Jews who had followed him across the sea to Capernaum. Still the same account. They had followed, and Christ told them this, they had followed because they ate of the loaves and the fishes and were filled. And they followed Christ, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. But they followed Christ for exactly the wrong reason. And he told them that too. Because they followed Christ for fleshly reasons. Right. And that's bad. Christ explained this to them. And needless to say, these followers didn't take it very well. Like I said, the next verse, they strove amongst themselves. As a matter of fact, and as actually a matter of scripture, the more Jesus Christ explained, the less people liked it.
Right. That's right.
And that's the less an individual liked it, and the less amount of people liked it. Both ways.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the more he explained, the more they hated it.
Right. That's right.
And as a better way of putting it, the more they heard, the more they hated him.
Right. Yeah.
And I am reminded that nothing has changed today.
That's right.
The more you expound upon, the more you explain, the more you preach the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news of his gospel, that he has accomplished what he came to perform. Mm-hmm. He did it.
Right.
It was finished. It is complete. This, it says, I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That's done.
That's done. Amen.
That's done.
Yeah.
He's not doing it now.
Right.
They want him to keep doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's finished. Whatever he came to accomplish, whatever it It's done. Because right now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he makes intercession, but that's not the same thing. He's interceding on behalf of the people that he purchased. The purchasing has been done. The salvation has been accomplished. The offering was made to the Father once, and it's done. People talk. Well, the more you preach that, the more people will hate it. And it will split a church. And will, by association, they'll hate you. Christ said, don't be surprised. It ain't no great thing that they hate you, because they hate me. They don't hate the Jesus they know. They don't hate the Jesus they believe. They don't hate the Jesus they like. They hate the Jesus Christ of the Bible.
Yeah.
And they will speak of spiritual blessings. But they don't want them, because they don't know what they are. People speak of eternal life, but this physical, fleshly life is all they know, and that's why these people followed Christ across that sea to Capernaum. Because they wanted a fleshly blessing.
Right. Yeah, that's what they wanted.
And if you really want to know the truth about it, right now there is a whole subset of Christianity built upon fleshly blessings.
That's right. That's exactly right. That whole subset.
They'll tell you they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They'll come out and tell you.
Because if you've got enough faith, God will bless you. If I got any faith, God gave it to me. If I exercise, I don't know. Yeah. Well, I love that word. Yes, you exercise your faith well enough, God will bless you monetarily. Fleshly. If you don't have a big house and a big car and good health, it's your fault. Now, there's a lot of things that are my fault. Okay. I don't mind that part. But I am where I am by the grace of God. And I don't consider being here punishment. I like being here. Some people would.
They would.
Some people would. That's a little old building. Well, at least you guys got soft chairs now, because you used to have them hard benches. And man, those things used to hurt my back. I was very happy to get these soft chairs. But we don't have any stained glass windows. We don't have a choir. We don't have a big Sunday school building. We don't have a regular school. We don't have a gymnasium. Yeah, I feel slighted. No, wait a minute. I don't want any of that stuff.
Amen.
I want to hear the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've got, generally speaking, 99.9% of the time, if you've got a gymnasium, and if you've got stained glass windows, and you've got a choir, and you've got a big Sunday school building, and if you have even a regular secular school, chances are you're not going to hear the gospel there.
That's right. Chances are you won't.
99.9% of the time. There may be one out there somewhere. I don't know. And if there's one out there, I'd advise them to get rid of most of that stuff. Although I wouldn't mind the gymnasium. Because I wouldn't mind shooting a little basketball every now and then. But, you know. Anyway, they want fleshly blessings, and that's what their religion is wrapped around. And that is who was following Christ here. The same thing. There are blessings which could be considered fleshly blessings. We talked about this last week, Walter, and the week before a bit. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike.
Yeah, sure.
That's a physical blessing.
Sure.
Or a curse if it's flooding. But crops grow and are harvested and people are fed because of the rain that falls.
Right.
on the just and the unjust alike. That's all from the Lord.
It's all from God.
Yeah. It's all from God. Yeah. What was that movie? Was it Shenandoah? Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Said, yes, Lord. He said, we thank you for this food. You know, we planted it. We harvested it. We picked it and everything else. But thank you, God, for it.
Yeah.
He was being sarcastic.
Yeah.
But that was the truth. Because without God, there wouldn't be any seeds that grow. Ask people in the middle of a drought. Cattle don't get fed and cattle don't get sold and people don't get money. But crops grow. Actually, any time you're filled with food, like hopefully here in a couple hours, any time your car starts, any time you have a car, any time you wake up, any time you go to sleep, or get sleep, anytime you breathe, you should give thanks to the Lord.
We
don't, but we should. Because it's His blessing that allows you to have whatever you have. And that goes for the just and the unjust alike. David was envious when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's the sermon I want to preach at a Health and Wealth Gospel Church. I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked till I considered their end. Anyway. Well, what come to mind with this was the plowing of the wicked is sin. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Blessings come. But the plowing of the wicked is sin. I've asked this before and I'll ask it again. What's wrong with plowing? What's wrong with plowing? The answer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with plowing. There's nothing wrong with plowing because you plow so that you can sow seed. And you sow seed so that crops will grow. And you want crops to grow so you can have something to eat. And you want something to eat so that you can be filled. And you want to be filled so that you can physically live. It's a vicious cycle. Because you'll finish eating, filled one time, and you'll think, boy, I'll never be hungry again. But lo and behold, I am. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Because this is what man has to do to physically live. The part of this that is sin is who is doing the plowing. Who is doing the sowing? Who is doing the reaping? Because whatever the wicked do is sin.
Right. Right.
It's that simple.
That simple.
This is because they are, by definition, wicked.
That's what it says.
Deep theology is what we got here today. And you can plug any action in there you want to. And if you put of the wicked, at the end you can put is sin.
Right. Right. Amen.
It's still sin. The sowing of the wicked is sin. The plowing of the wicked is sin. The reaping of the wicked is sin. The eating of the wicked is sin. You want to get meaner? The hymn singing of the wicked is sin. The praying of the wicked is sin. The church going on Christmas Day, Sunday of the wicked is sin. The celebration of Christmas itself of the wicked is sin. And that's because the living of the wicked is sin. The life of the wicked is sin. And the death of the wicked is sin. There's nothing in man that is good. And there's nothing that a man does in and of himself is good. That's why we need the bread of life.
Amen. Yeah.
Because I was right there with them for a while.
Yeah, me too.
My plowing was sin. My eating was sin. My living was sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there came a change. And I got thinking also a little bit about this where he talked about being the bread and the relationship to this, to where at the first temptation where Christ was in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him, the first thing he tempted him was, he's there 40 days, 40 nights, he's hungered. He said he was hungry. The first time he was tempted by the devil, it was with bread. Mm-hmm. And Christ told him, bread ain't enough. Mm-hmm. Bread alone is not enough. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's a quote from Deuteronomy. Christ was quoting scripture to the devil. Mm-hmm. Didn't do the devil any good either.
No.
Sort of like most churches.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You quote all scripture you want. Now, it blessed me when we were at that place.
Sure.
The best preaching that fella ever did was when he was quoting scripture to me.
Right.
When he explained it, he lost me sometimes. But quoting the scripture was always a blessing. Bread alone, Christ said, even though it is called the staple of life. Even though the Israelites ate manna for 40 years, bread alone does not cause man to live.
Right. Right.
Your fathers ate manna and are dead. That was an insult.
Yeah, right.
That was an insult. On purpose, mm-hmm, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, was insulting these Jews. Mm-hmm. Anytime you talk bad about somebody's father, people take it personal. Mm-hmm. Your fathers ate bread in the desert and are dead. Mm-hmm. Ate manna,
yeah,
which came down from heaven.
It came from heaven.
It came from God. It was a gift.
Right.
It sustained them physically in the desert.
Right.
But they ate it and they're dead. Most of them didn't make it into the promised land.
Right.
Their kids did. Mm-hmm. Anybody over the age of 40, except what? Caleb and Joshua was dead,
yeah,
before they made it into the promised land.
Yeah.
They don't like that part of the story either. Without Christ, without the bread of God, the life of God in Christ, everyone is dead.
Right.
There is no life without Him.
Amen.
And that's what He was telling these people.
That's what He was telling.
And I like how this statement ends, where Christ told him, man shall not live by bread alone. He doesn't say will not. He didn't say could not. He didn't say should not. He didn't even say cannot. He said man shall not live by bread alone.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's a command. Physical life does not matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Life from God is what matters.
Amen.
Life from Christ is what matters, because it is Christ Jesus the Lord who matters. If man is to live, it takes the Word of God.
Amen.
I like that. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that pretty much is everything. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. The light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. And that's what happens in this account.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the light, whether we see it or not.
Yeah. That's right.
Jesus Christ is life, whether we know it or not.
Right.
And a matter of fact, without Jesus Christ, we will not see it.
Right.
And we will not know it.
Verily,
verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on me doesn't have everlasting life. And you have to have everlasting life to believe. He is the bread of life. It comes from Him. Because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the true bread from heaven. He is the bread of God. He is the bread of life. He is that bread of life. I love what He said. He is the living bread. Because He's not dead now. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And outside of the bread of God, there is no life.
Yeah.
And this living bread must be in you. And that's not, it's not a physical thing you take into yourself.
Right.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has made this known to us, to His people. They wrote it down in black and white. Incredibly smart people translated it. I don't know whether they believed it or not. But they translated it so I can read it.
Right.
I hope they believed it. Some of them anyway. It's just one of them things where, you know, the odds are against you. Because there's few that be that find this way.
Sure.
Because there's few that be that are given this way. God has made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among us Gentiles. It is Christ in His people.
Yeah.
The hope of glory. And the only hope we have.
Yeah, right.
Walter, I think I told you this story a long time ago. I may have told it here somewhere else. Maybe at Mapscott. Years ago. I'm talking going back 20 years at least. I was somewhere waiting on something. And, you know, I have a tendency sometimes to get in trouble when I'm bored. Don't tell anybody this. So I picked up one of those weekly newspapers that I used to like to read the headlines on, you know, in Kroger's line. And there was one there, I don't know whether it was the National Enquirer, the Weekly Reader, or whatever else. Something like that. There was a woman who wrote the advice column in the Enquirer about her husband in his religion. Because she was concerned. Her husband had just got religion and was telling her about it, and it scared her. He told her that her and the kids needed to be washed in lamb's blood. And she didn't want to get washed in no lamb's blood because that was nasty. I don't want to get washed in no lamb's blood. Now, first of all, if your wife writes to the National Enquirer for advice about anything, you're in trouble. And this goes for husbands too. Second of all, lamb's blood is what's known as a metaphor, if you want to call it that. Just like the bread of life. You don't literally have to bathe in blood, but the blood had to be shed. And he's called the Lamb of God, but it's still Christ. Now, I don't know whether her husband had any knowledge of the truth or anything whatsoever, but evidently there was a lack of communication somewhere. But I still remember thinking, you know, 20-something years ago that this woman was stupid. Okay? She missed the point. Whether it was a good point or a bad point, I don't know, but I mean, anyhow. But now I'm reading 20 years later here in this book of John about people who were worried about cannibalism when Christ was talking to them.
Yeah.
That's what they were worried about. I don't want to eat nobody. But if I eat him, I get everlasting life. And I want that. I don't want to have to eat again. They missed the point. It's just like... Now, 20 years ago, I thought that woman was stupid. I still do now. Because I've come to realize, more so now, most people are stupid. And those that aren't stupid, most of them are ignorant. And the only reason I'm not ignorant of this is because of him. It's not because I'm smarter, Walter. It's not because I'm not too stupid to miss a good thing when I know it. I heard somebody describe their conversion that way. I'm not too dumb to know a good thing when I see it. Well, yeah, nobody is. If they see it. But I know where seeing eyes come from.
Right.
I know where hearing ears come from. And I know where a heart that understands comes from. And it don't come from me. It comes from the bread of life. Most people aren't just stupid, they're dead. In trespasses and in sins. There's a lot of people plowing out there that are wicked. They are without hope and they are in the world. Christ in you is the only hope of glory that we have, because he is our hope. Christ is the bread of God which came down from heaven. Christ is the bread of life. Christ is that bread of life, and Christ is the living bread. This is who the world is supposed to be celebrating today. And this is who most of them don't know. Because their celebrations show they don't know him who came down from heaven.
Right.
They don't know the bread of life.
No, they don't.
Because he is not the baby Jesus now. He is the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Seated. Seated. Because he was finished.
Amen.
The work the Father gave him to do.
Yeah.
And one day, we're going to see him again. Mm-hmm. And the world's going to see him. And some things are going to change. And as far as I'm concerned, it's for the better. Other people may have other opinions, all they want to. But sometimes you get to a point where any change is for the better. But Christ coming is definitely going to be for the better.
Yeah.
And even so, come quickly, mm-hmm. Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this place and this time. But most of all, Lord Jesus Christ, we are thankful for you. You who are the bread of life. You who are the Word of God. Thank you for all you have done. And thank you for what you do. Giving life to your children wherever they are and whenever you're ready. Eternal life. And please come quickly. In Christ's name we pray.